is a culmination of all of our speakers put together. So I ripped off a lot of our guest speakers this morning. I'm using their material along with some of my own, but they did great. And so all together, 2 weeks ago, we had five students decide to trust Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. And so, absolutely. We discovered through their initiating it that we had six or seven that need to be baptized, the ones who trusted in Christ, but also a few others who had just never been baptized. And so we're looking to get that done soon. I think we're aiming at September 9th for that baptism. And so it was just awesome to see God move and work in that way. And then we had many students who just made a commitment to honor God with their new school year, which is a big deal. I wish that I'd had someone in my life at that point, you know, to pull me aside and be real with me. I had great parents, but, you know, sometimes we'd always turn to our parents. And so for me, it was difficult. But I'm glad to see our students committing to honor God throughout their school year, and hopefully they'll continue with that commitment. So our theme, you can see it on the screen, was throwback, move forward. That was our theme. And it's all about the old self versus the new self. You know, we're born into this world and we all share something. We have a sin nature. We want to do things that we shouldn't do. And that separates us from God. But God has a plan for us. He loves us. We have a God who loves us and who's willing to make a way for us in this dark world that we live in. And so He wants to provide for us a new life through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what this theme was all about. That's what this morning's message is about. Being made new in the attitude of our minds, that's where it begins, I believe, of just realizing our lostness and realizing that we need Him, realizing who He is, and realizing who we can be in Him. And so that's what this theme was all about. Kind of looking back into our lives to see how God has maybe worked in the past to get our attention or to bring us to where we are now, and then moving forward to look at the future of what God might be wanting to do in our lives, in us and through us. It was a very relevant theme for middle school and high schoolers, but I think it's very relevant to all of us. We can all relate to this. We all are constantly undergoing this transition from the old self to the new self. So no matter how young or old you are, there's always work that God is wanting to do in us and through us, as we're willing to submit to His leadership in our lives. And so next screen will show our theme verses from the boot camp week, from the throwback move forward. And this is Ephesians 4:22 through 24. I'll read these. It says, "You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds," there's that thought, "and put on the new self," catch this, "to be created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." And every night, like a broken record, I told our students, and again I'll say, it should blow our minds. It should just astound us that we have a God that loves us so much, who's created us, who wants to pull us out of the mess that we create for ourselves, and who wants us to be more like Him. It just blows my mind every time I think about it. He doesn't want us to be Him. We can't be Him. I think we know we couldn't handle that, right? But He wants to help us become more and more like Him as we live this journey of life with Him at the lead. And so, are we putting Him in the lead? Are we looking to God for our identity and for our purpose? Because this world is full of places that we can look to try to find identity and purpose, but we'll always fall short and we'll always mess ourselves up if we look for our identity or our purpose in anything or anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we were throwing back during boot camp, and we asked the students and the parents to supply pictures of the kids when they were little, and we plastered them on the PowerPoint, and we laughed at one another's young photos. And it was just a good reminder, though, that God created us and that God knew us when we were in our mother's wombs, right? He knew us before we were born. He had that identity in mind for us. He had the purpose in mind for our lives even before we were born. And so that was a great reminder. And so I put up some of my photos from when I was little from when I was a youngster, and I wanted to share one of them here with you this morning. But I'll warn you, once you see this, it can't be unseen. Do we have that photo? Oh, that's me. Yes, I'm the one in the blue shirt, by the way. This was me. That's roughly age 14. That's my sister, Katie. She's cute as always. But I look like a kid who was searching for identity, don't I? Yeah. Students, you guys know that middle school is awkward, right? We all know that. This was my middle school years. But try going to a middle school looking like that. That's awkward. Very awkward. But that was me straight out of Red Bank, South Carolina. Could you tell? But actually, you know what? At that age, seriously, I was very close to the Lord. I had drawn myself very close to God. Of course, God had drawn me close to Himself. I was obedient to Him in devotional times, reading His Word. My parents were great about instilling the truth of the gospel in my life. But it was about that age when I went to the awkward middle school and I began to look elsewhere for my identity and for my purpose. I began looking to my peers, I began looking to the world, the things of the world, and I got way off track. And that little boy who loved the Lord so much began to forget about the Lord and began to think more of himself and what was going on in his life, and a lot of troubles, a lot of heartache, a lot of problems crept into my life because of it, and some of those I'm still struggling and dealing with today, the aftermath of walking away from the Lord. And so I want to encourage all of us to remember that, to walk with God each and every day, so that He can continue to do the work in our hearts and our lives that He wants, so that He can bring about that abundant life, that fullness of life that He created us to experience and enjoy with Him. So yeah, I was an awkward teenager. But when I think about folks in the Bible, people in the Bible, biblical examples who had their identity totally and radically changed by Jesus, and in this case, directly changed by Jesus, I think of the Apostle Peter. I think we got a picture of him. This isn't an actual photograph, but this is Peter in the net there, and Jesus, of course, approaching them at their boat, Peter and some of the other disciples. And I just always think of him. And we talked about him a couple weeks ago. We're going to talk about him this morning, of the transformation that happened in his life when he opened his heart to the Lord. The Lord approached him, and he opened his heart, and great things happened. I think there's a verse here. Yes. Okay, I'll try to read that. It's a little small. I guess I could turn around like Pastor Chuck does. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers. They were Simon Peter and Andrew. They were putting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, I will make you fish for men." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going from there, Jesus saw two other brothers. They were James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were sitting in a boat with their father, mending their nets. Jesus called them. At once, they left their boat and their father and followed Jesus. You know, we know that Peter was a fisherman, right? But I like to think about the other attributes that Peter may have had. We know that he was kind of impulsive. We can see that through the scriptures. But we also know that he sold the fish that he caught. And think about that. So he had to have some kind of business sense. He had to have some kind of a wherewithal to understand the overhead cost of his net and his boat and all these things. And so, you know, I've heard people call him just a simple, dumb fisherman, you know. But I don't know if that's the case. I think he was maybe a simple fisherman, but there's a lot more to him than meets the eye, perhaps. And I say all that to say that the same is true for us. You know, we tend to find our identities in what we do or the people we hang around, but there's so much more that God has gifted us with, and God is interested in all of it. He sees the full potential that we have. He doesn't see us as a simple fisherman or whatever. He sees the full potential, and he wants to bring that full potential to light through our relationship with him. And so he probably was a man of multiple talents and skills and gifts and resources. We know that he let Jesus use his boat to broadcast the gospel at one point, to so that Jesus could speak to the crowds. And so the other thing that Peter had, though, that I definitely want to talk about, was an open heart for the Lord. And that's the difference maker in his life. He was open and available and making himself available to change and to become all that Jesus was calling him to become, to leave behind the identity that he had crafted for himself, the identity that he found in that net and in that boat and in that business. He was willing to leave it behind to see what Jesus had in store for him. And so God gave Peter opportunity to use those skills and talents and gifts and resources for God's kingdom growth and for Peter's own individual growth. We sang the song earlier, "More of You," that the praise band sang, and the lyric writer, Colton Dixon, I think he was on American Idol or something like that, and he wrote, "You know, I built my castle tall, I built my kingdom, right, but it needs to fall." And so he realized, I'm building this kingdom for myself, but what's that going to get me in the end? Nothing. But God is building a kingdom, and the cool thing is he wants us to be a part of it. And he allows us that opportunity, and he gave that opportunity to Peter. And Peter, you know what? We're still talking about him this morning because of his choice and his willingness to lay down his net and his identity that he had crafted for himself and to follow Jesus instead. And Jesus will do the same for any of us who are willing to look to him for our identity. So I want to talk about the net again. Maybe as a picture still, we can pull, there it is, that net. You know, sometimes we try to find identity in life, and this happens all the time in middle school and high school, but sometimes it happens for us adults as well. We'll try to find our identity in life by taking a net and throwing it into the sea, and seeing what we catch, seeing who we become. And it's dangerous, you know. There's nothing wrong with Peter being a fisherman and taking pride in that. But if he had stayed there in that moment and said, "You know what, Jesus, you seem like a nice guy, but I've got my life already. This is my net, this is my boat, this is my living. I'm just going to stay here and do my thing." Guess what? Peter would have been stuck in that net for the rest of his life. And the same is true for us, guys. If we're not willing to lay down whatever it is that we're holding on to, we're going to miss out on the fullness of our identity and our purpose in life that Jesus has for us. And so it's so important to realize that he is our creator, and only he can fulfill the purpose in our life and that identity. So we need to look to him for it. We've got 4 points that we're going to go through here. We'll go through them kind of quickly. And these are 4 points just to help remind us things to think about as we move away from the old self and toward the new life, the new self that we can find in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The first point, we can throw it right up on the screen here. True identity is found, but it's found in Christ. It's found in Christ. It's not found in our occupation, as Peter learned. It's not found in other relationships outside of Jesus. It's not found in stuff or the lack of stuff. It's not found in having money or not having money. It's found in an ongoing, day-by-day relationship with the King of all creation. And frankly, that is a confidence boost for me, because I don't have to worry about what I can do, what I can pull off, or what I can't. I can look to my Savior and realize he's got it under control. And if I lay myself down and allow him to lead, he'll take me to greater places. Look at this verse. Again, it should blow our minds. John 1:12, "To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And think about this. In a day and age in America where we complain and whine and grumble about what our rights should be, here's the God of all the universe telling us in his word that we have the right to be his child when we look to Jesus for our identity. Isn't that cool? Absolutely. And so true identity is found, but it is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's your first point. You might have the fill in the blank. You can make notes if you want. Take it home, put it in your Bible, whatever you want to do. Point number two builds right off of it. Attitude is everything. Philippians 2:5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Chuck Swindoll, or Charles Swindoll, he has a quote on the power of attitude. And you may have seen it. It's a very popular quote. It's lengthy, but I've put it on the screen. I want to read it through it for us. Hang in there as I read this, because it really is a great quote on the power of our attitudes. The longer I live, he says, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, money, circumstances, failures, success, than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, or a home. He continues, the remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding our attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. Are you in charge of your attitude? This is tough for me. I have to remind myself of this often. It's just hard. Day by day, it's hard to remember that we're to have the attitude of Christ Jesus and to not let our circumstances or the people around us or the things that are going on in life to determine the attitude that we have. It's difficult, but it's absolutely necessary if we're going to experience the fullness that Christ has for us. God will bless, and He will bless you when you open your heart to His work, the work that He's doing in your life, in your business, in your marriage, in other relationships. He will bless that open heart and that open attitude. We should have that attitude like Jesus had. And what kind of attitude did He have? He always sought to obey the Father, to please God, to do what God had him to come to do. And because of that, the Father elevated the name of Jesus above all other names because of Christ's obedience and that attitude that He had. Jesus still faced challenges, of course, as we know. He faced many challenges, persecution, even death itself. But His attitude of obedience to the Father gave Him the strength to overcome temptations, to endure abuse, and even to overcome the grave. Our attitudes are powerful. Has anybody ever had, like me, ever had a perfectly good day that you ruined with your bad attitude? Am I not the only one? Okay, good. Whew. Yeah, and sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes we have a terrible day. And you know what? There's, you know, God's, you know, poured out His Spirit on us, or He's just encouraged us, or someone else maybe, and we just have a positive attitude, and we're able to make it through a terrible day with a positive attitude. And so attitude is so important. It truly is. Some of you have exhibited a Christ-like attitude in your business, in the way you handle your finances, and how you give your time. And God has blessed you for it. And so I think we'd all do well to remember that having a Christ-like attitude, even when challenges and stresses arise, they only result in God's blessing. And so I tell our students this all the time. I love saying this to them. God will always bless and protect your obedience to Him. Now, He may not bless you in the way that you think He was going to, or the way that you wish He would. He may not protect you in the way that you expect, but He will always bless and protect those who are obedient to Him. And so your second point, attitude is everything. Point number three. Life is not all about you, or not all about me. It's not. And I have to tell my son this a lot. Even in the service, sometimes I have to remind him of these things. That life is not all about him. But you know what? If I'm being honest, I have to go run to the mirror, look in the mirror, and remind myself the same thing. It's not all about me. It's about what God is doing. It's about the kingdom that He is building, the kingdom that He's allowing us to be a part of if we'll choose to surrender to His lordship. And it's about the work that He's doing in His children's lives. And so it's not all about us. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Don't just follow your heart. You know, the world will tell us, our society, our culture tells us, oh, just follow your heart. Just do what feels good, right? And that just leads to a big old mess because our hearts are deceitful. Who can trust it? Who can know it? Who can understand it? And God knows this. And that's why He tells us to abandon those things and to take on the new self, the new life that He has for us, to follow Him, to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ as we live our lives. So don't just follow your heart, because that'll probably leave you brokenhearted, more than likely. Because this world has a way of chewing up and spitting out those who live to only please themselves instead of living for the Lord. Now notice I said that life is not all about us. You know, Jesus did leave heaven. He did come down and live 33 years on this earth to set the perfect example for how we could live. He then endured a brutal death on the cross for our benefit, to take the punishment for our sins, right? He then rose again from the grave, overcoming death itself on your behalf. I think He loves us. I think He cares about us. I think it is about us to some extent. He has done all this work to save us, to redeem us. But we've got to remember, it's not all about us, though. It's about what God's doing to build His kingdom. But again, He's extended that invitation to each of us. And so what an awesome privilege to know that life's not all about us, surely not, but God has not left us out. He has made great provision to bring us along on the journey of eternity that He has created. And so I'm thankful for that, and I hope that you are too. He cares for us. He wants the best for us. And you know what? He's God, and He knows that only He can provide the best. And so that's why He wants us to be careful how we live our lives, who we let influence us, the habits that we allow to creep in and so forth. He cares about these things because He knows that He's God and He can provide that which we need when we can't. Point number four. Ooh, I forgot my underline. Yeah, underline. Live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. So live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And this is what some of the songs were speaking about earlier. How do we remember day in and day out, day by day, how do we remember when we're stuck in this life and all the temptations and distractions that come with it, how can we remember day by day that life's not all about us? How do we remember day by day that our true identity is found in Christ alone? How do we keep our attitudes in check? We live by the Spirit. We remember that God has provided to those who submit their lives to Him the Counselor, the Holy Spirit of God Himself, to dwell inside of those who place their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus. And it's that Spirit that guides us and moves us away from ourselves, away from the old self into the newness that Christ has for us. It's that Holy Spirit that reminds us that our attitudes stink and need to change. It's the Holy Spirit that reminds us that our identity is not found in the world or the people of the world or the things of the world, but our identity is found in Him, in the God who created us. I think we have a verse up here we can put up. When Jesus knew that His physical time here on earth was drawing to an end, He said this, "If you love Me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor." Another Counselor. So Jesus is our Counselor, right? He's given us His Word. He's given us His example by which we can live. He's there to counsel us. But another Counselor, to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit. The Bible goes on to call it the gift. The Holy Spirit is the gift to those who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And His job is to live inside of us, to live with us, to guide us, to steer us away from the troubles of the world, away from the troubles that we would steer ourselves into, and toward the fullness of life that God has for us. And so are you living by the Spirit? Are you trusting God's Spirit day in and day out to be your guide? Or are you looking to self? Or are you looking to others? Or are you looking to status? Or are you looking to all the other things of this world that draw our attention away from the power of God that is literally inside of us, wanting to help us and sculpt us, mold us, and shape us to be more like Jesus? Peter learned, he learned this, he knew this, as his identity was shaped over time, as he began to lay down his old self and allow Christ to shape him, allow the Holy Spirit to shape his life. He knew this, and he said in this verse, in his second book, Peter said, "For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Not only prophecy, but all manner of things. The conviction of sin, just knowing how to please God. All this comes from the direction of the Holy Spirit. Again, a gift given to those who lay down their lives and accept the new life that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So Peter had realized this, that God's Spirit serves to draw us away from that old self and toward the abundant life that Jesus talks about. So moving to the next slide, just a question. How about you? How about you? Are you living by the Spirit? Are you living for self? Have you shed off the old self, or are you in the process of it as you look to God to provide that full identity that He's created for you, the full purpose of life that He's created for those that He loves, for those that accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? And then there's the next question. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you sought guidance from the Spirit that He's made available to us? Is there a net in your life that maybe you need to leave behind? Again, for Peter, it was his occupation. Nothing wrong with that, right? But God had so much more for him, and so he had to leave it behind. For some of us, maybe that net is representative of a relationship in our life that we need to deal with. Maybe it's a sin habit that we need to deal with. Maybe it's an attitude or a thought process or whatever. Whatever it is that is holding you back from realizing your full potential and purpose through Christ, that might be that net that you might just need to let go and leave behind. And just trust Jesus to fill in the blanks for you as you go. When we allow God's Spirit to influence our lives more than the world does, we experience true growth. True growth. That's where true growth comes from letting the Holy Spirit outshine the world around us. Not trusting in the world or the things of the world or the people of the world even, but trusting in God and His Holy Spirit instead. It's when we forget who God is and forget who we are in Him that we begin to lose the sense of identity in our lives. We lose our sense of purpose when we take our eyes off of God and put them on ourselves or on what we wish we could be or hoped we could be. When we take our eyes off of Christ, we begin to lose that sense of purpose and identity. And our attitudes and our behaviors begin to suffer and begin to look more like the world than like Jesus. So don't miss out on the abundant life that you were created to have. I want to lead us in a time of prayer in just a moment. And I want to ask each of us just to reflect on what God would have you do with this time. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior before. Today can be that day. Today should be that day. You can ask Jesus into your life and into your heart right now. So I'd like to ask everybody just to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you've never trusted Jesus before, then let today be the day. Let today be the day that you accept that free gift of salvation that He wants to provide for you. And so as we bow our heads and close our eyes, I just want to say, if you want to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, just quietly repeat after me. You're praying to God. You're talking to Him. Just quietly repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe that You died on the cross to take the punishment for my sins. Please forgive me, Lord Jesus. Please come into my life and help me to know how to live in a way that would be pleasing to you. Send your Holy Spirit to guide me, to help me to know how to live. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer, if you'd like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, would you just raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass anyone or call anyone out. Just slip your hand up. Thank you. Okay, we can put our hands down and keep our eyes closed, please. I'll close in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for the gift of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to those who are willing to give up their lives to receive the better life, Lord, that you have for us, the eternal life, Lord, that begins now. You want to create in us that new life, Lord, so that we can live a life pleasing to you, so that we can be of service to you, of service to others, Lord, so that we can make you proud. Because, Lord, you are worthy of living for. So, Lord, in these next few moments, I ask that you'll send your Holy Spirit, Lord, to speak to our hearts, Lord, as individual children of yours, Lord, speak to our hearts and help us to know how to be obedient to you in these next few moments. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hold off just a second, guys. Our band's back up here. They're going to play one more song. We'll do it a little bit different today. We're going to play a full worship song, the whole song, not just a piece of it. We're going to play the whole thing. And so when we start, I'm going to go down forward. And if you accepted Christ today as your Lord and Savior for the first time, or some of you who were in boot camp last week, I know you're here, and you've accepted Christ, Jesus calls us to make it public. You know, he lived a public life for us. He sacrificed publicly for us. He bled and died publicly for us. And he asked us to take that stand as well. And so I want to just offer this moment for you to come forward and let the church know, I trust Jesus and I'm dedicating my life to him. So as the band is playing, I'll be down front. For the rest of you, maybe you just need to sing a worship song to God during these moments. Maybe you just need to praise him and thank him and love on him during this song. Maybe you need to come to the altar and pray for God to send his Holy Spirit to guide you in your life in some way, shape, or form. Maybe you need to come and pray for a loved one, a friend or a relative or someone that you care about. However the Holy Spirit's dealing with you in the next few moments, be obedient and allow him to do a work in your life. Thanks, guys.